Welcome, everybody, to another uplifting, exciting episode of Manifest the Big Stuff. I'm Greg Kuhn. I'm your mindset coach. You might call me a manifesting coach. I get super excited about sharing information that helps you turn up your manifesting power. And today, I have got a great guest for you. His name is Derek Gant, and he's somebody that I haven't known long, but I know pretty well. I know that he has a tremendous amount to share with us today, and I cannot wait to dig into growing your 24K life, growing a 24K life with Derek Gant. Derek, say hi to everybody, please.
Hey, thanks, Greg, so much. Hello, everybody. I'm happy to be here. I'm excited to share what little bit I've learned over the last 30, 40 years and to share some great insights and ideas.
Well, that's a very humble introduction for yourself. Derek, I want to add to what Derek has said and just let you know that Derek Gant is a financial expert. He is also a high performance coach, and he's got 25 years of experience in this genre. He knows what he's talking about. You're about to find that out for yourself. He authored the book, The 24K Life Code, The Only Difference Between Mediocrity and Greatness, which is a guide to achieving your best and getting the results that you've been seeking. Derek works with clients by taking complicated concepts and delivering them in understandable terms. So we're really going to lean on him to do that with us today. And his well-known mantra, which is master your mind and you will always be free, is going to be one of our guiding lights for today's conversation. That mantra has enabled him to achieve mental, physical, and financial abundance with thousands of clients, for the clients and for their families. Is that a fair introduction for you, Derek?
Absolutely, man. Every drop of it. I like the part you focused on, that the book is a guide, because it is a guide. You know, so many people that write books want to share how they became successful, and they want to say, here's the mold, and you need to just walk the walk that I walked, and you'll also reach where I am. And it's just not true. We all have to figure out our unique code to manifest our own personal greatness, which is why having a manifestation expert and manifestation coach like yourself is so critical and important to all of us.
Well, of course, I'm going to agree with you there, Derek. Let me start out by asking you, because I really keyed in on something you just shared. A lot of times in life, I know for me, I have tried to manifest a goal, tried to attain a goal by following the directions or the instructions that, you know, the best ones I could get my hands on.
Right.
I'm going to guess that that description does not do justice for how you got to where you are today. Can you tell us a little bit about your background? At least tell us about your why.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we think that everything that we do is unique and it's 100% ours. But as I got towards the almost, it's not the end of my investment, you know, advisory career, but more towards the end of it. I've been doing it for 25, 30 years. And you started to really hone in on, you know, what I wanted to do to complete the last 25% of my life, what I was able to do in my life. And I realized through, you know, an illness and some quiet time of serious contemplation, extended quiet time, that I had so much more to do. So for me personally, I focus very heavily on identifying or helping people identify what their purpose is and then giving them the structure of how to accomplish that. So for me personally, my why is, I was put here to help as many people as possible finance, this is going to sound really weird, but to finance their why. So I was put here to help other people finance their why. So when you look at your purpose and you look at your dreams and your goals and what you want to accomplish in the world, most people don't understand or can't conceive how to monetize their dreams. So have always wanted to work with the poor. Well, how am I going to eat if I'm, helping poor people? Or somebody else might say, I really want to work with young distressed ladies that, are struggling, but they can't find the monetary piece, or they can't afford to launch either their business, their ideas, their concepts. So my why is to take complicated financial concepts, as well as the concepts for life aren't complicated, but to identify those core procedures, those core tactics that people need to implement in order to reach their highest ability. I won't say potential because we never reach our potential, but to reach your highest ability. So my why is to, hey, let me help you get your money right so that you can dig in and live the best life that you can, given the tools that God gave you, and make money at it at the same time so that you don't have to live in poverty while you're along the way.
I love that. And you are addressing, I believe I hear you addressing your life purpose in the sense that you're helping others reach their life purpose, find their life purpose. Tell us a little bit about that second piece, about that structure. I often say, Derek, that to manifest extraordinary things in life, sometimes or often, we need to be willing to do things other people aren't. Now, those things aren't necessarily all extraordinary things. They're not all having to be, Herculean feats. But in my experience, they do need to be done consistently. Speak to that a little bit, please. Tell us about some of the structure that comprises your life that makes you the 24K Life Code Coach.
So, you nailed it on the head, and I'm just going to kind of extract it out just a little bit more. But, you mentioned my personal quote, which is master your mind and you'll always be free. But the hardest thing that we have to do in life, the single most hardest thing that we have to do in life, is to master ourselves. To master our actions, our reactions, our emotions, our words. And so hence my saying, master your mind. If you can master yourself, then you'll always know what's going to happen because you are in control of how you're going to react or act based on any multitude of giving circumstances. And I will add that it's a life journey. So let me say that before I talk about, the ways that I operate personally, let me say that, becoming 24K is not becoming rich. It's becoming solid gold personally in the areas that you're amazing at. So I am really good at helping people figure out their financial hurdles, and putting it into practice where they can make it work for them at a layman's level, not necessarily a sophisticated investment guy's level. I also do really well at helping people identify what's holding them back. As you mentioned, most people aren't willing to do what needs to be done to become who they really should be. And so for me personally, I like to take a look at the five core areas. So I look at, my financial life, of course, my fitness life, my spiritual life, my physical life, and then my relationships. And so we look at those five areas and you say, if one of them is lacking or one of them is lacking severely, you are out of balance. I mean, I ask guys all the time, kind of laughingly, if you were had all the money you wanted and you were close to God, or you had a great spiritual life and a great relationship, but you were severely overweight and couldn't get up and downstairs, is that a quality life? Are you going to be able to do the things? Are you free to move and to and fro? And what about your health? Are you going to be shackled? Or if you're in great physical shape, great financial shape, you have great relationships and your mindset's tight, but you have no spirituality. I mean, you're morally corrupt. Now you're reaping and sowing, and so there is no area. So for me personally, Greg, to answer your question in a shorter version, is that I understand the number one rule, and that is discipline is freedom. Most people think that discipline is punishment by the way we were raised, but discipline is freedom. When you know what you're going to do, then you know what the results are going to be. And when you know what the results are going to be, if that's the results that you want, if you want to accept them or not. So how do I do it? I'm disciplined in all of those areas. And I have routines, habits, and things that I do to remind myself of my routines and my habits. Could be something as simple as a phone alarm that reminds me to take my meds at a certain time because I'll forget, or to once a week it'll be to reach out and check on my sister, because if I don't put it in my alarm, I might not, it might miss it. So that gives you a brief answer of what I do, but it's all about being disciplined. And most people can't stand that word.
Let's dive into that word just for a moment, Derek, because I think that's a great word. And I'm resonating with the way that you introduce it. It can be scary. It's a little, discipline can be an off-putting word when I lack it more than when I have it. What sorts of things do you do? I realize that you're not a static individual, you're growing, you're changing. I see your business growing and evolving right in front of my eyes. Obviously, as we grow and change, new vistas open for us. We see even more possibilities, sort of like climbing a mountain and reaching a plateau that we thought was the top of the mountain, but really we see that there's further to climb. On one hand, we can say, oh crap, I got more to go. On the other hand, we can say, oh sweet, this isn't the end, right? I mean, there's more. And, wherever I am on that spectrum, I may be a little more empowered some days, a little less empowered others. Talk to us about that kind of motivation, because I know unless you, Derek Gant, are somebody who just rolls out of bed and flicks a switch and bam, instant motivation. Talk to us about that.
I think at different stages of your life, you're motivated and driven by different things. The number one by far thing is that I believe motivation is overrated. Because if you wait until you feel excited, if you wait until you feel good, very little is going to get done. Not that you never feel good or want to do things, but I mean, man, it's motivation is such a up and down roller coaster, as you've already indicated. So if you create the habits of doing things, if you want to or not, to give you an example, can't stand going to the gym, but I love it when people go, "Oh my God, you look great. How old are you? Oh my God, I wish I looked as good as you at your age." And so, you love the results, you hate the process. And if I was going to wait for the motivation of somebody to tell me how great I looked to want to go work out again, I wouldn't be very successful at that at all. And so we want to understand that motivation is overrated. And you want to get yourself into a habit of doing whatever it happens to be. And so one of the things you said I thought was pretty cool was, about 3 years ago, I hired a spiritual coach because I figured, you know what, that's the one area that I can really grow in, that is equally as important as the other areas that I mentioned. And I did that. And what I learned, which is so stupid because you've heard it a billion times, but I learned what it really meant, number one, to be present. And number two, to stop and smell the roses, because in my life, I've always been goal oriented. So it's been achievement oriented. So we're going to play on this team, and our goal is to never lose and to be the champions and to hoist up the trophy. When I was in high school, it was to get a scholarship. When I was in college, it was to go pro. And so you always had these huge things that were the prize at the end of the rainbow. And then as long as there was another rainbow with another prize, you're good. But once you get to a certain point where you have most of the rainbows and the prizes, then you're saying, okay, well, motivation isn't serving me right now because I don't have this huge next big thing. And so for me, it was tapping into what I really thought I was put here to do, which was help people financially, sustain and improve their life and not live check to check. And what I learned was that no matter how many wins or losses I have along the way, to do my absolute best to enjoy today, to enjoy this conversation, to enjoy my next client, and take those small wins because they are motivating, or there's some learning nugget inside of it.
Oh yeah, I love that. I do want to mention our brain, that chemical dopamine that is the is one of the really feel good chemicals that our brain produces. Our brain doesn't actually give us the biggest jolts of dopamine when we achieve the goal. The biggest hits of dopamine come when we take action, take a step toward achieving that goal. Technically, as long as we find the goal to be a reasonable one and a highly desirable one, taking a step toward it, taking action toward it is where the dopamine comes in. So I want to ask you a little bit about that. Motivation. There's a famous quote by Zig Ziglar, I think, where supposedly somebody challenged him, Zig, motivation doesn't last. And he said, yeah, that's right. Neither does bathing. That's why we recommend it every day. And
Exactly.
that's funny and fun and true. It rings true with us. And don't we all love motivation? And don't we all love to be motivated and feel motivated? But I find it very interesting the idea that I can help to craft my own motivation by taking small steps toward the attainment of a goal. When I look at you and you're an inspiring person, you're certainly an accomplished person. I could look at you and feel intimidated and say, maybe I'm comparing my insides to your outsides, and I'm watching this and I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I would like a better life. You named off, five life areas that are integral for human fulfillment, as the five areas you focus on. I'd like a better life, but I'm just not the same. I'm not that kind of person like Derek is. I'm not a, I'm just not as much of a go-getter. I don't have as much confidence. I don't, maybe some of those things that he's talking about aren't for me. What do you say to that person? Because I know they're watching right now.
That's the beauty of it, man. This is not going to sound politically correct, and I wasn't born politically correct, so forgive me or your audience if they take offense to it, but please don't. When my kids were younger, in school, I graduated from college. Their mom graduated from college, and we were encouraging them to go to private schools and to graduate from college, and they struggled pretty much because they had no appreciation for higher education. So I used to tell them, I said, listen, here's the thing that I want you to understand. I don't care if you, and nobody pumps gas anymore, so that's why I always use this analogy. I don't care if you like work as a gas station attendant and pump gas, or if you're the president and CEO of Chrysler Corporation. What I care is that you have options and choices. And so what I'm really saying to the audience is that, I used to think everybody should be type A and everybody should be going for the jugular and everybody should want to win the Super Bowl and everybody, should want to get straight A's. And then I realized that we all have something incredibly unique and different at different levels. Give you an example. I'm one of what, 3 million financial advisors, but I'm the only one that delivers the content in my mindset and my voice based on my experiences to people that can understand me. And so when we talk about the 24K life code, it's just like our genetic code. You may like to operate at a 7. I like to operate at an 8.5 to 9. When I operate at 10, I burn out. Some people can only operate at 11, 10, 11, or 12, right? And it only goes to 10, but they overperform and they can't operate unless they do. And so the cool part is to find your code, your amount of time that you spend here, the amount of time that you spend in relationships, or the amount of time you spend in the gym. Some people need to spend hours in there. I only like to spend 30 minutes. And so the code is figuring out what you want, what makes you feel accomplished, what makes you feel like you're giving back love to the world in a way that honors your life. And what does that take? Does it take you getting up early in the morning, staying up late at night? But we all have a dynamic, and I call it a code, that we need to figure out how we operate best. And then you just forget about everybody else, right? Because what you were saying a little bit earlier is that it's a comparison. No, we can't compare. I can't compare to you, or you're a massive successful runner. I wouldn't last, 35 minutes, 32 minutes, I'm tapping out. So that's the key. I mean, and I want to add, Greg, that I don't want people to think that I don't use outside tools as motivation. I use YouTube talks. I listen to your podcast. I, talk to you and listen to your testimonials about how your clients are manifesting better lives. All of these things are motivation. When I help a client and they you can see the lights go on and their life starts to change or their relationship changes, you won't can't imagine how many relationship compliments I get because I fixed the money problem and they no longer fight about money inside their relationship. It's
Oh,
huge.
man, I tell you what, our financial advisor, I have told her numerous times that she really should bill herself as a marriage counselor. I totally agree. You know, it kind of speaks to that, the rising tide lifts all boats sometimes, doesn't it? Do you
Exactly.
find that when you are bringing that 24K juice to one or more parts of your life, it does infuse, it does have a bleed over effect, doesn't it?
100%. And I can tell you, and I'll tell your listeners, because you're talking about manifesting, which means that we are manifesting our own lives ourselves. I always start with the things I can control. And to me, I may not be able to control what I'm thinking about because maybe I'm so overwhelmed or anxious that I can't get a thought out of my head or process properly, but I can control going to the gym. I can control working out. I can control, what goes on the end of my fork. And then that makes me feel good physically, which makes my internal organs and hormones and all those things work better, which makes me feel good mentally. And then it starts to spill over in your actions and your words and the other things. So absolutely.
I love that. Jumping back to something that you were saying earlier about knowing what you want, what do you want? And then that naturally opening up the door to exploring, okay, how can I then begin to manifest that in my life? How can I begin to achieve that in my life? It might be a little silly, but I always say that if you want to hit a target, the one key thing that has to be in place first is there has to be a target to hit.
Exactly.
And so, speak to that. Do you find that for you, speak to this personally, please, but also with an eye toward speaking to me and our audience, you have targets in your life that drive you. that help you plan, that inform you moving forward? Are those targets dynamic? I assume that they must be. And how do you approach that fluctuation? Because I know, you know, there's discouragement along the way. There's, you know, sometimes there's dead ends, there's obstacles. We get rerouted unexpectedly. Those things are sometimes frustrating.
Oh, 100%.
So, yeah, talk a little bit about that, please.
Yeah, you know, setting the target has to be dynamic, because if you're serious about it, and you mentioned it earlier, you know, setting a goal that you believe that you can, within your grasp. And so when you set a goal or a target and you hit it, then you need a new one. And so, you know, or there's levels to it. So, you know, your end game might be to influence 10 million people financially, you know, on a regular basis, but, you know, I have to get to 100,000 first. So your big target might be 10 million, but you need to hit 100 along the way. And then, you know, so it's constantly moving. And I believe that what I've learned personally is that instead of looking just at the target, it's like, what did I gain today that I can always use as I move towards hitting this target? And how did that affect me today so that I don't have to continuously relearn the day? You remember Groundhog Day, and every day started from scratch, and they tried to remember and warn people, and hey, this is going to happen, so that they can get to some breakout solution. And so for me, it's a matter of saying, you know, I am enjoying my time. How do I feel right now? And that tells me if I'm on the right track or not. And I'll tell you that it's frustrating, because if you're a competitive person, on top of the other things that we talked about, you're also competing against yourself. You know, what did I do this time last year? Is my goal different than last year? Right now I'm competing because I've changed my business model. You know, I'm trying to land the airplane, so to speak. You know, we've taken off, we've flown at a high altitude for a really long time. And so me landing is going from Gantt Investment Advisors, being a fitness coach, to being a financial coach versus being a hands-on advisor and helping more and more people, which is why I wrote the book, so that we could get to millions of people compared to, you know, me talking one-on-one. You can only talk to so many people a day. So if you're out there and you have a goal, or you don't have a goal, you know, I believe that you start with what you do best. You know, it'd be great to do what you love to do, and most people preach that. I like to say, do what you do best, because you're going to be less frustrated. And if you do what you do best, you're less frustrated, you do it with ease, and then you can start to gravitate towards what you absolutely love, you know, and hopefully maybe you'll come to love what you do best, because you do it best for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that, Derek. You know, I'm thinking about what you said, especially you said, you know, what did I learn today? What did I learn today that can really, you know, add to my toolbox, or mm-hmm. add to my practices, or give me some confidence, something I can hang my hat on, that sort of thing. You know, I've been playing with this phrase that has come up in my journaling the last 2 days, where I think I'm calling myself an SOB, and it that means student of better. I'm a student of better, you know, and just taking that approach. You know, when I look at my life and I look at the parts of my life where I am manifesting the most fulfilling experiences, the most successful experiences by the metrics that I'm choosing, typically those are parts of my life where I'm using the reality I manifest to inform me, to guide me on my journey of, you know, learning, growing, and changing, rather than using my reality to define me, my worth, my value, who and what I am. And, you know, is that, I'm looking at you, your practice, the coaching that you do, the community that you have built and are building. You've used the term journey you know,
Oh,
numerous times during our conversation today. About being a student, because I know that it's inspiring for me to listen to you. Your energy is naturally, I feel naturally motivating and very genuine. So if I'm starting in a place, though, where that's not where I am, you know, maybe it's with my financial life, maybe in my career, you know, I've got a job. I just don't see and understand opportunity there. I have money, you know, I get paid, but I just don't see abundance there. You know, I don't see opportunities for abundance there. Or maybe it's my love life or my parenting, or like you said, my health and fitness.
Right.
What's taking that first step like? And is taking that first step, is it all that different from taking the step you're taking right now, which might be step number, you know, 682?
Yeah, the first step is always the hardest. You know, it is the hardest step. It's, you know, making a decision that you're going to make an aggressive change, making a decision that the life that you're living in whatever area you're looking for improvement on isn't acceptable. And that's why, you know, we put the subtitle there. The only difference between mediocrity and greatness is to figure out what you need to do and then focus 100% on the next step. You know, what is the next step? And the first one to me is always the most difficult because change is difficult and people don't like change. They like comfort, they like complacency because, you know, they, you know, the best weapon I have is, I mean, the best problem I have is the one I know I have, you know, and people are afraid of things that will never happen. And so it becomes very difficult for most people, you know, they'll decide, but 85% of New Year's resolutions are torched and done by the second week of the year. I mean, within 2 weeks, that resolution is dead and over. And so, you know, it becomes imperative to just focus on the next step, the next dollar, right? If we're talking about your nutrition, what's your next meal? So I can't complain about the pizza I ate last week. All I can do is not eat one today, you know? So, and if I do, what did I learn from eating the whole pizza last week? Well, I learned that I just wasted 3 days worth of working out, you know? So it's just focusing on, we can't change yesterday. So we just focus on the next thing that's in front of us, the next prayer, the next meditation, the next meal, the next thing I want to manifest, and focus on the next step of the target. So you have your destination. And I tell people all the time, we've talked about this before, Greg, is that the first thing that you do in modern times when you want to go somewhere that you don't know where you're going is you put in where you are. And then it says, where do you want to go? And then it says, pick the best route that you, you know, here's five routes. Which one do you want to take? And then you look at the routes and you go, well, this is on the expressway and I'm not that big of a fan of the expressway. This one's over here, but there's a roadblock. This one over here, but we have to go through the tunnel. So which one do we got to take one because we know where we're starting from and we know where we're going. Which one do we want to do? And then figuring out that along the way, everything's okay because it's getting you to your target.
And that's a beautiful metaphor. It, you know what, you're making me think of something, Derek. I recently read some data analysis that Strava did. And for people who are listening who are not familiar, Strava is a workout tracking app a lot of runners use. I use Runkeeper. Look me up on Runkeeper. It's Greg Kuhn, easy to find, and add me. We'll run together. But Strava analyzed over 800 million data points, and they calculated that for the average person, day 19 of a new habit is quitter's day. Day 19 is quitter's day. And you know what? I was glad to learn that. I mean, I thought it was an interesting thing to learn. I'm currently in the middle of doing 75 hard, which is I was told a trendy way of infusing some very beneficial practices into one's life. So
Right.
I work out every day for 90 minutes. I read at least 10 pages of nonfiction. I drink a gallon of water, and seems like I'm forgetting
No
something.
sugar,
Maybe
no
I'm not
sugar.
doing the whole 75 hard.
Yeah,
I
I
don't
think it's no
know.
sugar.
Maybe
I think no sugar is one of them, isn't it?
no sugar. Oh yeah, the diet. That's right. I
Yeah.
get, thank you. I select the diet, that I'm going to follow, and then I do it without
Right.
cheating. That good. Thank you for the reminder.
And you got to do what? You got
So
to do one indoor workout and one outdoor workout, if my memory serves me correct.
that's absolutely correct. Derek, please quit adding requirements to this. You're making it more difficult for me as we speak. I shouldn't have brought
Well,
it up. No,
that's
I'm
all right.
just
Well,
kidding.
we did 75 soft. I called it, I swear to God, I called it 75 soft. In the 24K Life community, we did a 75 day challenge, but we called it 75 soft because I wasn't doing two workouts. I'm too old to do two workouts a day,
Okay, so I'm doing it, and yeah, you're right, 45 and 45, it's a split. The reason I bring it up, talk to us about the importance, correct me if I'm wrong, and I don't think you will, so much of this journey, I mean, I can't say 100% of it is an inner journey, but the vast 99% of it is an inner journey.
right.
Everything happens in here first. That is 100%. Our insides manifest our external world. So, but that feedback, that guidance from external sources, it may not be a huge percentage of what's manifesting our external world. If it were, that would be a little bit like, asking the canvas to paint itself. But that 1% that comes from outside of us, wow, it has the potential to make such a powerful impact. Now, you coach. You get coached, same as me.
Right.
You also run a community of people. So you're deep into the world of that 1%, that necessary, beneficial, often life-changing outside help.
Right.
Talk to us about the role that plays in developing this 24K life.
Yeah, it's a interesting way. I've never heard it put that way, and I don't disagree. I do agree that 1% is a lot, right? So to have here's my take as an American. And I would say I don't like to say I'm typical at anything, but let's just say as a typical American, I want the fastest way to where I'm trying to go. Even though I'm enjoying, the process, because I want to get there because I know there's somewhere else to go after that. And so that 1%, Greg, is what we offer. And I say we because you're a coach also, is what we offer based on our experience and circumstance as an idea of how to help someone else do their inner work. Right? Because it is a 100% inside job. But the 1% that just says, look, this is the inner work you need to be focused on right now, based on where you are, where you're going, and what's happening in your universe. And that 1% is really important. And that's why I don't think that these modern kids, and I'm gonna say kids, and I'm not trying to cause a fight with any other generation, but they don't, you don't value books as much. The average American doesn't read one book a year. But that what you're really saying is that there's a book out there that will change your life. It will change the way you see something. It will change the way you look at something. It'll change the way you understand something. I was watching a documentary this weekend, and they were really short documentaries on all the auto car makers. Chevrolet was a French guy, obviously Ford. Oldsmobile, these were all individuals. All these car names were individuals that started making bicycles. Almost all of them started making bicycles and then graduated on to automobiles, and they all failed like 100 times. They all failed like 100. It was incredible when you go look at it and you think that, well, we had four guys, did he even live to see the magnificence of what he created? And so my point in saying all this is that you're 100% right. If we could learn something, Ford learned something from the Dodge brothers. He hired the Dodge brothers, and they came in and taught him some things that helped him make better Fords. And so we all need that spark, or that guiding light to say, hey, you know what? I know it's an inside job, but let's shine a little more light on this part of the inside job so that you can get where you're trying to go without falling into too many pit holes and having to climb out of them to get back to even. And that's the work that we do as coaches. That's the things we do in the community. Hey, look over here. If you're really struggling financially, look here. I'm telling you where to look. Now, you have to take that and apply it to your own personal spending habits, your own needs, the bills that you've put into place, and your credit and all those type of things. But this is where you should be looking at right now. And that's the beauty of having a coach, having an advisor, and having somebody that's been there. They've helped thousands of other people's get there, so that means that they know thousands of ways to help you possibly get yours too.
To surround ourselves, just to continue illustrating what you're saying, if as best as we can surround ourselves with other people who are like-minded, who are similarly goal-oriented, who are growth-minded, those sorts of things. I mean, is that
It's
typically?
close. It's close. I would say that the statistics prove that you don't want to be the smartest man in the room. You don't want to be the smartest woman in the room. You don't want to be the one that knows everything. You want to surround yourself with like-minded people, but that know more than you do. Because just by their sheer actions, activities, and insights, their verbiage, their beliefs, it's going to elevate you. And if you're like-minded, then you're on the right track. Like, if you drink whiskey, you shouldn't be in a wine room.
Right. Yeah, I spent some time as an executive director of a board of directors, and I often told those folks that when we were problem solving, that if the idea I brought to the room winds up being the idea that we use, I'm gonna be mad at them. Because my goal always, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I don't want to be the smartest person in the room. That is not to me an advantageous point. I want to be a student, right?
You want to be a student. You want to be.
Absolutely. I do, Derek, we're starting to butt up against time, not reaching a hard stop yet by any means, but I definitely want to come back to one thing you mentioned, and you've talked about the journey. And this to me, this is a really key question, and I really want to hear you pop the hood and let us in on some of your inner mechanisms, which you've been doing so openly. Thank you for
No
that.
problem.
So let's continue that.
Okay.
The journey, learning for the sake of learning, the intrinsic value, if you will, where the journey is the gift, the growth is the gift.
Right.
However, at the same time, like for example, with money for me, the journey is the gift. And I also want the money. I don't just want the journey, I want the money. And I know that there have been times in my life, and probably somebody listening is in the same position, where what it was that I wanted, I needed it. I've
Right.
had a time in my life where I desperately needed money to avoid some calamitous circumstances. I was going to be going bankrupt and have 15 foreclosures and just destroy my life. I needed the money. Now, that need didn't necessarily at all change the truth of the journey being the true treasure.
Right.
But how do you personally stay focused on the journey? And how do you help others stay focused on the journey, especially when that desire is a need and it's fiery hot and it's hard right. to stop thinking about what it is that I don't have yet?
Yeah. You know, the funny part about that, man, and this is my experience with clients, is specifically from a financial perspective and from a fitness perspective. So the areas that I know a whole lot about, funny thing about that is that you don't have to worry or force people to focus on the journey when they're in need and desperation. They are focused. It's when they get slightly out of it that they get comfortable, lose focus, and they either slide back into total hell, right? Or they improve a little bit, and then they get easy, they get comfortable, and they stop the habits and the focus that they use to get there. So, you know, when you have something, I personally believe that people get what they need. I don't think that people get what they want as often as they get what they need. And so my concept is the, how do we turn your wants to needs? So I started changing my own verbiage. You know, I need a community with 10,000 members. I don't want one, I need one. And so you start to have that conversation with yourself. But I don't disagree with your point. But from my perspective, I give you an example. We'll have somebody that you know, they're behind on their mortgage, their water's going to get cut off, and they're just bad shape. And they come to us, and it looks like we work magic, but we do what we do. We get them in a position where they know they get to keep their house. The water is still flowing. They're still going to work. And they might get, let's say, this happens more often than not, they get a tax refund of $3,000-$4,000. Okay, so we get them close to being okay. Then they get $3,000-$4,000. Then they go, oh, don't need your advice, I'm great, right? And this happens in March, April. By June, they are dying on the vine again because they never changed the principles. They never changed the value structure. They never changed their habit structure. Or they didn't adopt it to a belief. They did it for a temporary Band-Aid. You know, it's like constantly putting a Band-Aid on something that needs stitches. You're in trouble. So that's what I find. And so, if, you know, for those that are listening, you know, pick one thing. If you have five things that we talked about that are five core areas and you're lacking in two of them, it depends how old you are. At my age, you got to tackle both of them at the same time. If you're younger, tackle one of them and just focus on that. Stay present on that. Get that out of your way, and then you can move on to the next one and do your best to maintain.
Oh, that's such fantastic advice. You know, you mentioned, Derek, people get what they need.
Yeah.
And I got to say, somebody, probably many somebodies watching this need to hear what we are sharing today. Mm-hmm. And thanks to your generosity and openness and our willingness to get together, they are getting to hear it, which is right. A wonderful thing. Let's really take the value for this person to a whole nother level. All right. Okay. Derek, you are being asked to, you know, have a consultation with somebody who has a strong desire. They really want that 24K life. They really want, they really want the financial freedom. They want mm-hmm. the personal freedom, spiritual freedom, the health, the fitness, whatnot. And so they're coming to you and saying, Derek Gant, tell me what I should do. What's your top advice? Where do I start? What's my first step? How do I structure things? Give us the whole kit and caboodle. Lay it out for us.
Well, the first thing I'll say is that is by far my ultimate favorite person, right? I mean, somebody who says that on a scale of, because I ask this question when I interview people, because I can't work with everybody. Because I can't take it personally, you know, as a very driven alpha type guy, I can't take people that are wishy-washy. So the person that says on a scale of 1 to 10, I am an 11 on my desire to live a 24K life and change the trajectory of where I am. That's so number one, admitting where you are, knowing where you are, and being at that level where you really don't have a choice. This is what I'm going to do. And then it's just a matter of, it's a combination of how much time do they have? Do you want like the turbo boosted, how to get this going? We're going to do all five at once. And are you capable of doing that? Or do you want to just tackle these two areas? So it depends on the person, but man, I'll unload and dump. And here's the cool part for myself, if I can say about myself, is that there's a difference between an advisor and a coach. A coach is going to help you figure out what's next for you. An advisor is going to say, "Greg, pick up the phone and call 20 people that you interviewed last year that were your top interviews and tell them you want to follow up, and that's going to get you 20 interviews like that." So an advisor is going to tell you what to do based on all the information that you give us. A coach is going to help you figure it out. Now, I do some coaching, but most of what I do is advising. And so what you're just asking me is spot on. It's like if I get a guy, let's take a Derek Gann. You got a 55-year-old male who wants to be in the best shape a 55-year-old can be in. You want more stable finances. You have a relationship, but it could be a little better. You have some semblance of spirituality. I'm going to start you off on all of it. So we're going to do 5 minutes of quiet time, like as in prayer meditation. That's going to be included in your day. So you're going to, we're going to pick a fitness goal based on what your level is. If you don't work out at all, then we're going to do our best to get, 15-minute walk in. If you, with your finances, go to your checkbook and write down, categorize everything that you spent the last 30 days. So go to your online banking statement, print it off, and figure out how much was gas, how much was food, how much was dining out, how much was groceries, how much was clothes, how much was gambling. Figure it all out. Let's see where your money is. And so we're going to do all of these things. Do you have date night with your spouse or your partner? So if you are 24K aggressive, that's where we're starting with you. And I know it's too much, and it's too much for 99% of people, but we'll start people where they are. So that our coaching, our advice, our programs are tailor-made based on, what people have in mind. You reached out and we chopped it up when we first met, and we ended up spending 3 hours on the phone together, right? You helping me helping you. And that was totally unscripted and totally beneficial for both of us.
That it was. And this has been totally beneficial for me. I know that it's been totally beneficial for others. By the way, I'm 56. Derek, I think you need some gray hair, man.
No, it's there. It is my dark skin covers some of it up, but yeah, I got a few strands up top, man. I got a few strands up top.
Well, when you cross over to the gray side, I predict you will enjoy, as somebody who is very intentional about his health and fitness, here's what I predict. You will find that as you get the gray hair, it'll add another element of outside appreciation because people will understand that how much you're bucking the odds, so to
Got
speak,
you. Yeah. Yeah.
with the gray hair. And so you have a lot to look forward to there. That's
I
always
love
good to
it.
have that on the
I'm ready.
horizon.
Always ready.
Derek, I have to say, we definitely made good on our intention today to create something of value, to bring some very valuable content forth through our discussion. Can you let folks know what does Derek Gant have going on? What's on the forefront of your activities today? And of course, in addition to that, what's the best way for someone to engage with Derek Gant right now?
That's awesome. Yep. So, we run, we decided that this year we want to focus on helping people get out of debt. We do the other things. And inside of our community, just so people understand, we have brilliant minds like Greg come in to do workshops and programs so that they can get access to a variety of experts inside one kind of hub, if you will. That's the 24K Life Code. So if they wanted to download the 24K Life Code on their Android or Play Store or the Apple Store, they can go to that and download the 24K Life Code. It's a great place to start. You can message us, you can text us. We have a free version, we have a paid version. So it just depends on just getting yourself started. What we have on the horizon is we're running these workshops, and they are workshops where people can pull out their pen and pad and take step-by-step notes to figure out where they are with their debt and how what's good debt, what's bad debt, how to get rid of the bad debt, how to increase their cash flow so that they can then spend more time doing the things that are important to their life's purpose.
Oh wow, I love that. And just to say, I know that in watching and listening to our conversation, folks are getting a good healthy dose of the genuine energy, the sincerity that's on display here. And I personally can attest to Derek's heart and Derek's focus. It's a real pleasure, Derek, to get to introduce you
Thank you
to
so
new
much.
people.
I enjoyed my time with you, man.
Yes, thank you so much for taking the time. And as we wrap up here, and I remind folks to go ahead and make sure that if you haven't, at the very least, joined my Facebook manifesting group. It's called Manifest the Big Stuff with Greg Kuhn, Creating Our Realities Together. That's a great place to go and get started. Make sure
Amen.
you do that today if you haven't. Derek, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you.
And to everybody who has made themselves a part of this conversation by listening and watching, thank you so much for sharing your time with us. We have felt it while we've been talking, even though you currently haven't watched it yet. You're watching it right now, and we can feel that. All
Amen.
right.
Yes, sir. Yes.
So thank you for sharing your time with us. There's nothing else more valuable that you could share. We really appreciate it. I never take it for granted. I know I speak for Derek in saying the same. So until we get a chance to get together again, hopefully very soon, keep believing and keep manifesting.